I would like to ask our WMU leaders to stand, and this would be our mission friends, our GAs, RAs, our youth, and our women leaders, if they would stand, please. If you're part of WMU, please stand. If you've been to a meeting, if you're planning to come to a meeting, ladies, please stand. We want to thank you for being involved in the missions education in our church, and our leaders, our children and youth, and our leaders will be sharing more later with you in the month or in the coming months. They are working on earning some badges in their programs, and they're going to be anxious to share with you some of the things that they have learned and what they've accomplished. So this morning, I want to introduce to you Deborah Taylor. And approximately, I'd say about 6 years ago, I met Deborah for the first time. You know, God places people in your life throughout in your Christian walk, and he's placed so many people in the area of WMU in my life to encourage me and to grow in Christ, and also to have my eyes open to missions. And Deborah is one of those people. As I came on board to serve with the North Carolina WMU board, but and this Deborah has since she has become our WMU North Carolina president. She also serves as our national WMU executive board. She is a co-site coordinator for Christian Women Job Corps in Robeson County. Her husband's name is Alan, and he is a mission strategist, or mission director of missions, as you might know of that title, for Robeson Baptist Association. And let me just say that when you think of Alan, I think of Deborah serving together and how they have been a strategic part of that association. And they have had challenges, just as we in our area have had, but particularly just about 4 years ago, the storms came through and just devastated the area. And they had just been so instrumental in being the hands and feet that God had placed there at that time to be able to coordinate groups to come in and rebuild and continue. That continues, and we praise God for that. Also, her daughter's name is Cassie, and she is associate music associate at Lawndale Baptist Church in Greensboro, and she just completed her master's in curriculum, and she is also very active in ministry in WMU. Deborah's areas of expertise have been included mission trips, working with children and youth, and focus on our focus week, and also prayer and spiritual growth, and she is a retired educator. So we're just very thankful and very privileged to have her come this morning.
Well, thank you, Becky, so much for this invitation. It's good to get to catch up with her for a minute and to see what's going on here, too. And I thank you, Pastor Mooney, for the opportunity to speak here with you today. And I really thank Travis and Joe for helping us with all the sound and technical work, too. So it's always a blessing to get to worship in a building. Isn't that? That's a little change here. But also, it's a privilege for me to come from our state Women's Missionary Union and our national building, you. And I can assure you, as Becky and all of these others that have served, we are praying women. We want God's Spirit to join us and help us to serve God, just as our historical sisters did 135 years ago. We look young, don't we, for all that. So this year, when we were choosing themes, Relentless had been chosen. Now, as you know, themes are chosen ahead of time because of trying to get things published. And so nobody had any idea what this 2020-2021 was going to bring with the pandemic and the cultural and political things. But nothing is a surprise to God, is it? And so this scripture has been very appropriate for this time. It's from Hebrews 10:39. It says, "We do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved." And we certainly know that shrinking back has a negative thing to it, doesn't it? We don't want to shrink. And Relentless can sometimes have a negative idea to it. But the writer of Hebrews knew that these Christians, who had been Jews, were just maybe a couple of decades removed from Christ's resurrection and his ascension into heaven. And already they were going through these difficult times, things from their family, because they had converted to Christianity, the culture, the Roman government that was around them. And yet the writer encouraged them that we know in the other chapters about faith that he spoke of and the leaders there. And he said, you can be just like them. You can continue to grow and to thrive because their faith is what would not be destroyed. And so our WMU goal is to make disciples who live on mission. We want to challenge, equip, prepare Christians to be radically involved in fulfilling the Great Commission. And so, as you know, through our missions education program, they can probably say it with me. We learn about missions. We pray for missions. We give to missions. We want to support the work of the church and the denomination. And then, most importantly, we want to do missions. And so here in our state, when we were trying to think of, okay, how are we going to encourage our churches during this time, and encourage them to keep on and to grow, we focused on that word growth, that it was a relentless growth. And we were looking through examples in the Bible. We looked at Paul's letter in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 of what he said to the church there, verses 5 through 9. He said, what after all is Apollos and what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe. As the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seeds, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose. They will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field. You are God's building. And so that is what God is doing here in this place and all around. You know that we hear about many things about growth, and I know you know about plants, you know about the gardens. I was in education. I think I retired at just the right time. But we talk about the growth in education, the growth in children. You were talking about rebuilding, and you know what that's like, trying to rebuild and to do it. So this idea of relentless growth, though, not like I experienced the negative of when I lived in Atlanta or Charlotte, you know, all those orange barrels of the roads and things, that's the negative part. We want to focus on the good part. And it's that sometimes it's surprising. It's that strong, fierce growth. It comes from difficulty or even in spite of something that's hindering us. And so that spiritual growth, that's what our focus is. Those are the last words that Jesus left for his disciples, the Great Commission, in Matthew 28, 19, and 20, where he said, go and make disciples. Teach those believers then everything that I have taught you. And so they did that. Through the persecution, we know, through other difficulties, other hindrances. And so here we are 2,000 years later, and we as Christians have that same purpose and task that he spoke to us. There's a story that's told about Billy Graham. It says that he was in an elevator, and the doors opened on another floor, and somebody else was about to get in. And they kind of, I guess, did like we would all do. They kind of blinked and like, oh, you're Billy Graham. And he said, yes. And then the other person said, oh, you are truly a great man. And Billy Graham responded, I am not a great man. I just have a great message. And so that's what we have today. That's why I come to speak to you today, is to share that message. Because we want to be relentless in growing our world for Christ. And I think that there's some things that we have to think about in doing that, that I've been trying to learn from in my life with this pandemic. We must desire growth. We must develop growth. We must dedicate ourselves to growth. And then I hope that you'll hear how WMU's goal is to deliver that relentless growth. You see, when we desire growth, then we have that purpose. You know, throughout all of this time, and you still hear today, even in the quarantine, the cultural, political stuff that's going on, you hear people searching, what am I supposed to do? I'm here at home all this time, or I can't work, or I can't do this, or I can't do that. They're searching for a purpose. We already have that. When we became a Christian, we were given that purpose. That's to make disciples. We don't have to worry about what to do. Jesus' very last words, as we said, were that. And he expected disciples of those days, but he also expects us to make disciples. The sad part is, in 2019, Lifeway had done a study of Baptist churches, members in Baptist churches. And unfortunately, less than a third of the people in our Baptist churches could tell you what the Great Commission was and could tell you what it meant. And so we still have a task for us here in our churches and then here throughout the world. We have to let people know that God expects us to become a believer, and then he expects us to teach others what we have learned. And so many times I have found that I probably don't focus on that mission. I start filling my life up with other things. I've tried to clean up closets. I've tried to do puzzles. But I have really tried to make sure that, yes, there is more time to read all those books that I wanted to read God's word more, to pray more. And so here in our churches, we have beautiful music. I loved the music this morning. We have such beautiful surroundings here. We have outstanding education for our children, our families, and those are all very good things. But you see, they're not the main thing, so to speak. If this pandemic has taught us anything, it's how to survive and do ministry in a new way, and most of the time not in the church building. In our churches, we still have a mixture. We have some inside, some outside. We have some broadcasting. We have some that are doing Zoom, all over the place. And so the church should not just be known for, quote, good things, but like Dr. Billy Graham said, we should be known for our great gospel message. So building and growing those Christians is an imperative, and it should be our main focus. You know, Matthew 6:33 in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you." So if we're thinking about desiring growth, it's not just that, oh, I wish I'm going to get this for my birthday, or I wish this. It's a real hunger and thirst, a real longing. And so that's what it is with our kingdom growth. We really have to have a passion to see others come to Christ. And it's hard to think of this sometimes, but we really need to view each person that we encounter as a divine appointment for gospel engagement. That's what Jesus did as he walked those years on earth. Think about the woman at the well. Think about Paul when he met Lydia and the women at the down by the river. That was their personal encounter to share Christ and to share the gospel, that living water, as Jesus said. So Paul had planted the church in Corinth, but he still kept his focus that was on reaching the Gentiles. So he left to go start other churches. And we too must have that same desire that we want to plant little seeds of the gospel and then let people around us come to know him. And as we plant those seeds, then we have to develop growth. You know, that's the second part of the Great Commission. He said to teach the believers what we have taught you, what Jesus had taught to them in those years that he walked around with them on earth here. And so in order to teach others, we have to be lifelong learners. My husband used to laugh at me about, "You've done teaching forever. Why are you still making new lesson plans?" And I was like, every day is different. We're always learning. We're always trying to reach for that one. And that's the same way it is with Christ. There's always something new to learn. We have our Bible study time, our prayer time. And as I said before, we're not those people that have to frantically run around going, "What am I supposed to do? What is my purpose in life? Why am I here?" We have the Holy Spirit that can guide us. We have a copy of God's word. I've written mine out today so I wouldn't be flipping through it, but we have a copy of God's word in our own language. We probably have multiple copies of it at our homes, don't we? So that we can see that. We can look at the Old and the New Testament people. Sometimes they lived for God. Sometimes they didn't. They weren't so faithful. We've got the recorded words of Jesus that when he was here on earth and all the principles that he modeled in his daily life and how he interacted with people of all ages, of all races, of all backgrounds. So if we're going to grow something like, let's say, the beautiful garden of flowers or vegetables, you know there's a lot of developing to do, isn't there? We got to, you know, prepare the soil. We got to plant the seeds. We got to make sure the water's there at the right time. We got to take out the weeds. And sometimes we put fences around it to keep, you know, other animals out, deer or insects or whatever. And so if we want that relentless growth in God's kingdom, then we have to find those ways to develop it. We have to provide those leaders that are going to be reading and understanding God's word. We have to provide opportunities to practice sharing the gospel. And we have to be meeting needs in Jesus' name. So just like the church in Corinth, here we are Apollos had come after Paul and had watered those seeds that Paul had planted. And he taught and trained the believers there. And so we too must raise up other leaders to develop followers. We've been talking a lot and we've been really praying and working with our WMU leadership that we want that, sometimes that missing generation we talk about, the millennials, the Generation Z, and we want them. And so we have to develop them. And it's not that we have to let them pay their dues and then 20 years down the road they'll come be leaders. They're leaders now. We need to make sure that we're teaching our children, our youth, and all of our believers how that we can sustain that growth. So we have to desire the growth. We have to dedicate ourselves to growth as well. You know, dedication we think of is when we're having a new building and we dedicate something or we dedicate a song to somebody or whatever. The dictionary definition says that it's when you are set apart. It's something consecrated to a sacred purpose or like a deity, and you are wholly, completely, earnestly devoted to that. So as Christians, our goal, as Jesus said, is to be set apart and totally devoted to that purpose. He said to love God first, right? All our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then to love our neighbors as ourselves. And so I kept thinking that, you know, if we're dedicated to God, who is holy and worthy to be praised, then we're going to be humble. We're going to recognize our need for Him. And if we're dedicated to loving God, then we're going to put our trust in Him. And we won't depend on our own works or understanding, as the pastor said earlier. If we're dedicated to loving our neighbors as much as we love ourselves, then we don't have time to be selfish or jealous or judgmental. Just like the people in Corinth had to be reminded, Paul said, your devotion is not to me, not to Paul, not to Apollos. Your devotion, your allegiance is to Jesus the Savior. So we have to make sure that our love and our service are dedicated to God. Serving God is not just something for our own gain. I can't wait till we get to heaven and we see those wonderful things. But it's not that we're just trying to earn that. We're not trying to check off a list of things or make ourselves feel better. If we're going to achieve relentless growth, then we're dedicating ourselves to follow Christ's example. Not the culture that's around us. I know there's so many other philosophies and teachings here. But we have to be relentless and wholly dedicated that we'll get through even these difficult times, because we do have a higher purpose. We do have a sacred purpose. You know, when you're growing a flower or vegetable garden or whatever, you look at the soil, don't you? You have to know what plants are going to work best and what type of soil. You know, we wouldn't expect to grow an orange tree in the cold of Alaska, would we? We like the warm heat of Florida, probably. And orange groves aren't going to give us grape juice. James said, you know, that we cannot have sweet and bitter water flowing from the same spring. And even in Revelation, John wrote that we must not be lukewarm, not be hot or cold. We have to be wholly devoted, earnestly, to the relentless daily work of growing disciples and making believers. And I know that I need that reminder many times, just like the church in Corinth did, that it's not to some earthly leader, it's not to my church, my pastor, my special person here, but I have to recognize that I cannot achieve growth in my own power. It only comes through that of the Holy Spirit. And so today I come to get to speak to you because I believe in the mission of WMU. I believe that we want to deliver that relentless growth, and I'm truly honored to represent them. I know that throughout their history, they truly have followed the Great Commission. They've desired growth. They've wanted to make believers. They've wanted to witness of God's love and care for neighbors. They've wanted to develop missions education for all ages. They've wanted to train leaders. And we pray that we've dedicated ourselves to growing in God's call, just like we pray for and support those who've been called into full-time ministry or mission service. And we pray for them all across the world as they serve. And I know that this last year has been called a lot of things. We've said it's unprecedented, it's difficult, it's the worst, it's debilitating, it's all of those things. I would agree with most of those descriptions. And most of what we think of as our normal life, our church ministries, They've truly been affected. But we know that God has placed us here in 2020, 2021. He knew that. And that we are still finding ways to honor Him and make disciples. I wanted to share with you about two people that I've had the privilege to work with. There's a picture of Akivia. And I met Akivia. She was about 17, and she had been living with her grandmother. Her grandmother passed away, and so she took up with a boyfriend, was living with him, became pregnant. And so I met her when the boyfriend left, of course, and so we were at the children's home. And as she was turning 18, about to have the baby, she could not stay at the children's home anymore. And so our WMU had contacted the Christian Women's Job Corps, and we found that there was a space for her in Greenville, that they had a house. And so she went to Greenville and was living there. She had her baby son. And as she was there, they began to, of course, to mentor her and talk to her. And she became a Christian and realized that she loved her son, even though she had said she didn't, and felt like that no one had loved her. She went to got her high school degree, went to the community college, and when she finished that, the lady who was the director said, "Well, Akivia, what do you see for long term? What are you thinking about?" And she's like, "Well, you know, I never thought about it, but I really do like my son. I like children. I really want to help children through some of the things that I've been through." So they took her to Shawan University to look around, and she was so quiet, and they were asking her, and she said, "Oh, it's just such a beautiful place. I could never imagine that God would let me come here, that God would love me and let me do that." And so, of course, they helped her. So through our partnerships, you think about it, with our WMU, our children's home, our colleges, she was able to graduate from Shawan and become a teacher where she had done her student teaching. And she sent me this picture of her with her. "I've survived 100 days of teaching," as I had prayed for her and continued with her. And she said, in the letter she wrote to me, she said, "My son is not going to have to wonder where his next meal is coming from. My son is not going to have to wonder where he's going to sleep or where he's going to be. He's not going to have to wonder if anybody loves him, because I can tell him not only do I love him, but that God loves him." And so she had heard that and had been mentored by those ladies. So one person truly does make a difference. The other two young ladies are Maddie and Lydia. They were young ACT teens. I've worked a lot with ACT teens and teenagers. And so I met them through the years. We did several mission trips together. They came from Missions Carolina over in our area in Red Springs and Lumberton. We worked with some refugees in Greensboro. And they were graduating high school. And they were called to me and they were like, last summer, "What are we going to do? They're saying we can't do mission trips. They're saying we can't do this. Can we not?" And so I worked out that they could come and stay at the Rebuild Center, and they could work in partnership with a few of our agencies, and they did. Those two girls came, they painted, they helped with houses, they helped us give out food distribution, and they are in college now preparing. Maddie is leading a Zoom Bible study with college girls, and Lydia is making plans and has worked a lot with the Pregnancy Care Center. And so you see, when we share that gospel, that one person, those two people, they mentor somebody else, they teach somebody else. And so WMU has and will continue to partner with you as Christians and as a church. And I just thank you so much and let you know that your contributions to the Heck Jones offering, it is named after our first two leaders. I did have a pastor that asked me one time about, I didn't know why anybody's name was Heck. Well, Fanny Heck and Sally Bailey Jones, they were 16 and 23, and they were our first WMU leaders of our state, and then went on to become national WMU leaders too. And their contributions help us to be relentless, not even letting COVID stop us from learning about missions and praying for missions and supporting missions and participating in missions. And I'd like to show you just a few, they say pictures are worth 1,000 words, a little video about what missions education has been doing across our state.
"Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you."
Jesus was talking to his disciples. Jesus is talking to you. For over a century, Women's Missionary Union of North Carolina has walked alongside believers of all ages, teaching them about missions and missionaries, and helping them understand how they can fulfill Jesus' great commission in their own lives. We want you to know the stories of missionaries who have taken up the call of the Great Commission to share the gospel in a world in darkness. We want you to know who they are, what they do, their joys, and their struggles.
Go and share their stories to children and youth through our age-graded missions education.
Inspire the next generation of missionaries as they discover God's calling on their lives. Help them discover that every generation has a God assignment. Go and share their stories with adults who need to know the good that is being done in Jesus' name. Bring light to the stories of the lives who work tirelessly so that one day every nation and tongue will know that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Go deeper in your understanding that we are all called to our own personal mission field.
We are preschoolers on mission, children on mission, youth on mission, women on mission, and adults on mission, called to make a difference. Ready to get more active? Start or join an age-level group in your church or community today. Will you answer the call?
Will you answer the call?
Will you answer the call?
Thank you for helping us to continue to help others to answer that call. When COVID hit, we took the Acts 1:8 model and made a commitment to reach our Jerusalem, our Judea, our Samaria, and even the uttermost parts of the world. And so in our prayer guides that Becky had given you, you see our, and it's on the screen here, our executive director, Amy Boone. Cheryl Daniel is our business manager extraordinaire. She made sometimes money come out of a turnip, I think, as they say, blood out of a turnip. Amanda Martinson does our leadership development. Jen B is our communications. And then our age group leaders, we have Sarah Lampkin for preschool and children, Julie Keith for students in college and young women, and then Becca Lindau for adults. And so we recorded trainings. We had a lot of Zoom and FaceTime meetings for our children and youth. We did virtual prayer walks. We walked around. We worked still with refugees. We were able to bring a small group of them to Camp Mundo Vista and our military wives. We still put the red boxes together for the prisons. You saw them, some of the bags that we were making for medical personnel and educators. We made bags to give to the truck drivers. We made masks. Just all of the things that you think of. We had a small mother-daughter camp, and we brought some of our missionary kids in. And so we wanted to continue to minister and to partner with groups. I know that you probably know a lot about it, but if there's anything that we can help you with, I want you to know that we have a free lending library of over 200 different Bible studies. We made all of our devotional materials a lot on anxiety and depression and all the discipleship, other things. Those are free now that you can get. And one of the things that we did, we found out from the International Mission Board, and that was sad for me to hear, that almost half of our churches in North Carolina did not give to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. And so we hand-wrote letters, our board did, to encourage them and tell them about this opportunity so that we can continue to support our missionaries, just like Lottie and Annie used to handwrite those letters. So we were able to do that. We still gave scholarships to seminary students, missionary kids, and then, as I said, the red box for incarcerated women. So I want to show you just a little bit of some of those ministry projects that you probably helped partner with.
When the rains fall, we need an umbrella. But when the floods of life and circumstance come, we need one another.
Because we live in a world that needs us to do more than say we love our neighbor, but to truly love in action and truth, Woman's Missionary Union has developed compassion ministries that are a powerful and pivotal force for Christ in the lives of the hurting and most vulnerable.
Jesus said, "When we feed the hungry or give the thirsty something to drink,
when we see the stranger and take them in, or the naked and clothe them,
when we see the sick or in prison and visit them,
that whatever we do for the least of these, we do for him. Together we can bring assistance to those who live in poverty through Christian Women's Job Corps. Offer hope to victims of human exploitation through WorldCrafts. Create a sense of belonging and sharing the gospel to refugees through Project Help. Offer healing to the military wives as they deal with the struggles that come through long deployments, PTSD, and other needs. Provide relief to those in need of humanitarian aid through Baptist Nursing Fellowship and Pure Water, Pure Love. Minister to those in prison through the Red Box Ministry and the Prison Retreat. Share the love of Christ to the women and children who need God's love through mission trips. Join us.
Will you join us as we reach out to the least of these?
As we reach out to the least of these.
In Jesus' name.
So I thank you again for your partnership, for your care for your neighbor, for your care for your church here. How are we going to do missions in 2021 during a pandemic? Well, I'm grateful for your gifts, and I know that there are still ways that we can touch people. I wanted to share just three quick ways with you. One that I know that you're already doing is praying for missionaries. You know, way back in 1886 when WMU was beginning, Fannie Heck said, we need to pray for these missionaries. How are we going to do this? And she came up with the idea to pray for each missionary on their birthday. And we're still continuing to do that. You can find them listed, but even if you don't have a missions mosaic, we're now posting those online. And then I also really encourage you to pray for missionaries that have connections with us here in North Carolina, just like yours that you mentioned here from your missions house. There's so many. There's two in Whiteville. I'm meeting one of them tomorrow as they're preparing to go back. H&J in India, the Walters, I can say their names. They have three young children and are serving in Bulgaria, and they grew up, one of them in Raleigh and one of them in Lumberton. The Altrees are serving in Vermont. So there's so many that I will be glad to connect you with and just help you to remember to pray for them as they are representing us. And then we were asked by the Baptist Hospital to help them. They said that when the pandemic first started, they were getting a lot of things for medical workers and encouragement, and now they're not getting so many. And they also have a need for the beanies for the cancer center. So we're calling it the Matthew 11:28 project, that come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And so if you would like to participate in that, obviously there's, I found out, I didn't realize there are 11 hospitals that are part of the Baptist hospital system, but you can do this for any hospital, and I know that there are ways that you have been reaching out. And then the third one is that we're trying to do, and I know that there are connections for you too. I think of any group that has had to adapt so much as our children and our school personnel. And so the workers at the Odom Baptist Children's Home that are there in our association usually are on a rotating cycle. So they work 2 weeks and they're off 2 weeks. Well, when the pandemic hit in March, they were not able to leave. They stayed there 24/7 from March through September and did not get to go see their families, or they were there. So you can imagine teenage girls and boys and children all together there. But they started their rotations back in September, but they've still had a few cases there, and I know that throughout the state of our children's home. So we wanted to encourage them, children that are scattered across North Carolina. We're going to try to put together a little Easter basket treat and put the gospel message in there as well. So we may not be able to go meet in person. Sometimes we have to drop things off at the door, but we wanted them to know that. And so as we come to the end, we're hoping, of this cycle, we know it has unique challenges. And sometimes we think we're the only ones that have gone through this. But I wanted to share with you that Fannie Heck wrote a report for the women in 1909. And in her report, she talked about semi-Christians. And she said, more alarming than all of this, and indeed the root, is the semi-conscious Christian life of a professing Christian. The semi-consciousness that hears but never dreams of doing. The semi-consciousness that cries for reform but makes no practical effort to bring it. That approves of the golden rule but does not obey it. The semi-Christian takes the standards of the world in honesty and goodness rather than the beatitudes that we say, Lord, Lord, and they don't do the things that he commands. The semi-consciousness bustles itself about all these non-essentials and forgets the weightier matters of truth and honesty and righteousness. The semi-consciousness that will sleepily proclaim, our church is unable to cope with these present conditions, and so sleeps on. But yet, she said, for all of these faults, for the seeds of which each of us must search our own soul, there is growing hope. With much considerations to hinder us, the sum of this year marks progress. But what this progress would be if we gave ourselves wholly over to providing the fruits of the Spirit in goodness and righteousness and truth, none can estimate. And so I say to you, I'm grateful for your continued support. I want to join with you to try to continue that relentless growth. That will bring honor and glory to God. And then we can truly say, just as Hebrews 10:39 does, we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. So just like Paul and Apollos and Fannie Heck, Sally Bailey Jones, Annie Armstrong, Lottie Moon, all of those others, I ask you to join me in being relentless to get the gospel message out. Thank you.